Bros. Football. Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can white guys use the term fan?
What is going on? This is fantasy football. That's right, you cannot get rid of us whatsoever. I know you tried, but we're back. I'm Alex Hardy, and with me, my bald and beautiful, John Salas. What's going on, John Salas?
Oh, Alex, you said it perfectly. You can't get rid of us. The only thing you can get rid of is the hair on my head. And
oh, it's gone.
He gone.
The staff is really filling my cup. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. We've got plenty more puns for you guys later today. Hopefully, the longer we go, the more time John has to improve on what he's delivered for us, you know, up to this point. Now, before we really dive into what we saw from week three for fantasy, what you're looking forward to for week four, which begins with the Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals, potentially another appearance from our man, Keith Arizari, I first wanted to mention something that's very important to both of us in the fantasy community. Mike Tagliere, who unfortunately had passed after battling with COVID for over a month on Saturday, at the age of 39, he leaves behind a beautiful family, and it's just heartbreaking. Somebody that I had limited interaction with, had spoken to probably half a dozen times, and as a fantasy analyst and someone whose opinion I had respected, it was really kind of him to spend the time with me, giving me advice on, you know, asking him candidly about going out on his own, building an empire, building 100,000 followers on Twitter. It was just kind of amazing to see his growth. And he never was too busy to take that time and at least talk to, of all people, me, about his process and what I could do to become a better fantasy football host myself. So just incredibly unfortunate for Tags, for the Tagliere family. And I'm just totally gutted, and something I had to mention that happened this past Saturday. So with that being said, one thing that I think I need to improve on as a fantasy football host, John, is being honest. And after we had taken that time off, coming back for week three, we had to shake some rust off, didn't we, John?
Yeah, Alex, I can't lie. You know, thankfully for editing and post-production, so we probably sounded like beautiful angels. It's a new week. The rust is off. And you know, you're taking over hosting duties because some guy that used to be here with us the last couple seasons has decided to run away, go on his own little adventure. Something on MLB Network, MLB Better's Eye, Monday through Friday, what, like 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, like we needed you to fill in and just take over the helm, and you have. And it's just, it's great to have a guy with hair, you know. It's a really good connection, and I feel like I'm going to start growing my hair out now too. But speaking of losses, last week I was really high on Sterling Shepard, and now he's out with a hamstring injury, has not practiced yet this week, so he is looking downward. And after a guy who was averaging 15 points a week, he was a top five waiver pick this week and going into last week, especially playing the Falcons, and now he's back to being non-existent, so there it is. I'm done. I'll take my loss there.
It's not your job to predict injuries, because I think every fantasy football player would like every single player on their roster available. So that's not on you, John. What I ended up doing, I advocated for guys like Tyler Lockett and Damian Harris, who both disappeared in their matchups. Finally, DK Metcalf. And perfect example. What did I say in last week's podcast? That Tyler Lockett was 17 yards downfield as ADOT, his average depth of target, he was 17 yards down the field. And that was DK Metcalf in the previous 2 years. Just, I watched the Seahawks-Vikings opening drive. DK Metcalf catches three passes for 54 yards and scores the touchdown. 18 yards per reception. There's that number again. The Seahawks offense is too predictable, but Tyler Lockett's going to stay in my starting lineups, because sometimes it'll be him too. not to spend as much time as we did a week ago on the Patriots backfield.
Yeah, I like football season and all the things that go with it.
James White's injury. He has the same hip issue that Ryan Fitzpatrick does. So if you don't have an IR slot, you can go ahead and drop James White. Brandon Bolden, special teamer and apparently the best pass blocker for the Patriots, ended up getting that emergency play time. Damian Harris blew some pass coverage. Mac Jones got sacked a number of times, not as many as Justin Fields, and we will get to those Chicago Bears. But the outcome is with a full week of practice, you'll see a little more J.J. Taylor. I'm still not looking to add him because he's not a pass protector what the Patriots do need with Mac Jones. And who are they playing, the New England Patriots? I can't remember if there's a storyline or something going on, John.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Just the best rushing defense in the NFL. So, you know, those three touches that Damian Harris got, probably going to add up to like zero touches, maybe one.
Nailed it. The number one storyline is Damian Harris against the Buccaneers defense. Nothing to do with a quarterback or a head coach or 20 years or six Super Bowls. You know, 20 years and six Super Bowls is probably what Matt Nagy was anticipating when Andy Dalton came this summer. And instead, Andy Dalton had a knee issue, and correct me if I'm wrong, it is 2021, and the name Nick Foles has been uttered this week in Chicago.
You hear, you know, it's Philly special, and you know, everybody got a little fired up about that.
Can't say I'm surprised. BDS once again making an appearance, but it sucks because we have to talk about Allen Robinson, who has been the most affected by this. I think... You know, what do you got to say, Alex? Third round, if you went reaching for running backs, those first two, Allen Robinson probably going in there as your number one guy. Mitch Trubisky was giving Allen Robinson the ball. Literally, Allen Robinson was averaging at least 15 points last year in fantasy football. Now, he is nowhere to be found. And Justin Fields, it feels like it's just been set up to fail. Nick Foles, if you saw it over the weekend, on the camera, Nick Foles says this off to Andy Dalton, says this offense is just not working. So is it time that we just fade Allen Robinson until Matt Nagy's gone? Or is it a matchup play now? But what matchup is really in the Bears' favor?
The McCaskies aren't firing Matt Nagy midseason. It's just not going to happen. The Detroit Lions should be a get-right game for Allen Robinson, but the fact of the matter is he hasn't had more than 35 receiving yards this year. He found the end zone week two against the Cincinnati Bengals, and somehow they actually won a game. But until we know who the quarterback is for Chicago, it's really hard to depend on Allen Robinson. And David Montgomery, who in his previous history against the Lions, over four games was averaging 4.5 yards a carry, three touchdowns, was pretty consistent against the Lions. But again, it was Matt Patricia at the helm. It was Matthew Stafford at quarterback. So they're playing a different Lions team.
If I were king of the forest.
With the Lions, Raiders, Packers, Bucks, 49ers, and the Steelers over the next couple of months, I think there's more matchups where I will start Allen Robinson, unless, of course, I just have an opportunity with somebody off of waivers that just has too good of a matchup to pass up. If I found a wide receiver on waivers, it was only because I didn't get Chuba Hubbard, which I ended up scooping him in a couple of leagues this week, which, you know, I had the top waiver priority because I was in last place.
I'm a loser, baby.
Christian McCaffrey had the hamstring injury against the Texans on Thursday night, which was a week ago now. And Chuba Hubbard is going to become Mike Davis 2.0, right? I really like the matchup against Dallas for week four. The Cowboys allowed 25 completions on Monday Night Football, with 14 of them going to tight ends and running backs. Hubbard was targeted five times and caught three of those balls while relieving CMC in the second half. I mean, this is a guy with the pedigree out of Oklahoma State that touched the ball 350 times a couple of years ago. But wasn't really utilized in the passing game. That wasn't really Mike Gundy's deal. But then again, he's a man. He's 40.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Actually, he's over 50 now. But anyway, what makes sense for me when facing the Cowboys is they've been more susceptible in the passing game, especially when they're when the opposing team's tight ends and running backs are being targeted. So Chuba Hubbard, until I hear otherwise. McCaffrey, again, wasn't placed on IR, so he's not going to miss more than 3 weeks, but he's still not going to be practicing this week. So Hubbard, at least for week four, is a must start.
And for guys like you, Alex, and I'll have to throw myself in there, in one league I am in last place and got him. So we're depending on him. He's that guy you call up from the minors. So let's hope for Chuba. Since we're talking about waivers, I have a guy. I don't know. I have not heard his name all week or leading up to waivers Wednesday. Tim Patrick over in Denver.
No, this is Patrick.
KJ Hamler out for the season. Jerry Jeudy on IR. The only guy getting targets over there is Courtland Sutton. But check this out. When Hamler went out on Sunday, Tim Patrick got 5 catches for 98 yards. That plays. And then if you want to look even deeper into Tim Patrick.
No, this is Patrick.
So far this year, he has 12 catches, 174 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So he's already getting the looks. And you have to take advantage of Teddy Bridgewater while he's hot, right? Like, you have to assume the Broncos, they're all going to slow down. But Tim Patrick is a guy is that if you're listening to this right now and he is still sitting there, they are playing the Ravens this week, who just get absolutely destroyed in the passing game. And if it's only Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick, get Tim Patrick, throw him in your lineups, trust him this week, and you probably get another 2 weeks out of him until Jerry Jeudy gets back.
I'm thrilled he brought up the Broncos because Tim Patrick had those numbers against the Jaguars, the Jets, and the Giants. The Ravens, you're right, is another plus matchup. The Broncos schedule will get more difficult, but you're right. It's an addition by subtraction. Without KJ Hamler, without Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick is a solid piece that's available in 2/3 of Yahoo leagues. Wow, only 33% owned for the next month. It's pretty safe. You've got one more wide receiver from waivers this week, John?
Yeah, so with the news coming out of Arizona about DeAndre Hopkins, and we all know A.J. Green said it during the week, and there's a hint on who I'm talking about. He says DeAndre Hopkins doesn't miss games. But we all know when DeAndre Hopkins is in there with an injury, he doesn't really produce that much. He's just there as a decoy. So check it out. In the last 2 games, A.J. Green, 12 targets, 8 catches, 156 yards, and a touchdown. He's getting 6 targets a game, and he's getting a total of 18 targets so far. And he's a guy that you could have just picked up late, or if he's still sitting there, only in 20% of Yahoo leagues. So you have to assume he's almost everywhere. And with the news of DeAndre Hopkins, ribs injuries, we never know. He's a guy that Kyler Murray may be going to, and he's still going to be getting that repertoire with. And I've seen it firsthand, and you got a Rams team that's going to force you to throw this upcoming week, and Jalen Ramsey's going to be covering Hopkins, so that's going to leave A.J. Green wide open.
I have a couple of leagues where I punted on tight end, so I've been kind of running through the waiver wire, trying to see, you know, who some of these guys are. I'm going to just really list – I'm just going to list quickly some of the top guys for week four in terms of tight end waivers. Dalton Schultz, who – has at least one more week before Michael Gallup is eligible to return from IR. Tyler Conklin, who had 98 yards receiving and a touchdown. It was funny because the Vikings were targeting KJ Osborne and Tyler Conklin had a reduced receiving role. Then against the Seattle Seahawks, Tyler Conklin has the big day and Osborne can barely get on the field. Week four against the Cleveland Browns, only 3 players have had more than 3 catches on them this year. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Brandon Cooks, and I think Tyler Conklin's going to catch at least 4 balls against the Cleveland Browns.
One of these things just doesn't belong here. Tell me, did you guess which one?
And then the last one, I started Pat Freiermuth last week. He got that touchdown. I'll take it. Until we know about Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster, I did drop Freiermuth to make a waiver wire addition this week. And I'm curious, John, because it's easy to just keep naming guys to pick up off the waiver wire. But what if you're still sitting on to some of the top waiver pickups from week one, week two? Who's sitting at the end of your bench?
The bench mob!
Bow, bow, bang, bang!
You're going to swap them out, or you have swapped them out for guys like Chuba Hubbard or any of those receivers you mentioned.
I know this got a reaction out of you when I mentioned it when we were prepping. Tyson Williams.
Whoa.
So he was leading the league 6.5 yards per carry. You know, he had that great week two. And this was the first week in week three last week where we were like, okay, Freeman's ready, Murray's ready. How's it going to look with all three of these guys? And let me tell you, Tyson Williams is the guy who is on the hot seat. This dude was averaging 12 touches the first two games. He only touched the ball five times in week three. Only had 22 yards. Now, Latavius Murray touched the ball seven times for 28 yards, and Devontae Freeman touched the ball three times for 8 yards. I think it's finally gotten to the point where it's running back by committee, and I don't feel comfortable starting Tyson Williams at all. I just don't anymore.
You mentioned the matchup with the Broncos. That's certainly going to make things difficult, as they haven't allowed a rushing touchdown yet this year. I had to part ways with Eli Mitchell. I might be too soon on this, knowing that Jeff Wilson is probably about a month away, but another backfield by committee, those 49ers, they're not keeping that seat warm for anyone in particular.
I can't sit here.
Hey, Trey Sermon was back. No, the fullback Kyle Juszczyk played the most snaps out of any running back for the Niners. I mean, ideally, they're just going to play whoever best fits the profile. Eli Mitchell is not a Raheem Mostert clone. With the opportunity to pick up Chuba Hubbard, I have to move on from a committee backfield. And I understand why you feel that way about Tyson Williams. I'm moving on from Kenneth Gainwell as well, but somebody I'm going to keep watching and somebody that should be rostered in PPR leagues, because we saw Monday Night Football, when the Eagles get down, they do not run the football. Even if they're averaging 13.5 yards per carry, the Eagles are not going to be running the football when they're down.
We're streaking! Come on!
A week ago, we opened the show talking about rookie quarterback play, and purely from a fantasy perspective, because with a combined record of 1-10, with the lone win being Mac Jones over Zach Wilson.
This is what we signed up for, right?
Rookie quarterback play has been hard to watch, but there had been some fantasy insight that we had looked on. I'll remain a Justin Fields truther as long as he gets to play a playbook that suits him and not Andy Dalton. But let's get to some of those pass catchers, because there's a number of guys we were all interested in. Five first-round quarterbacks this year. We were all planning on them to be the next Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow right out the gate. I think we're doing the same with this wide receiver class. A lot of first-round talent. Again, we're trying to replicate a really great 2020 wide receiver draft that had guys like Justin Jefferson and T. Higgins and CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy and Brandon Ayuk. There's one clear-cut guy who has fit that mold, and it's probably why he was selected sixth overall. But your impressions of Ja'Marr Chase with the Cincinnati Bengals, who's been all boom and no bust.
I love him. You can tell him and Joe Burrow's time in LSU is really carrying over here in the NFL. I mean, the dude has four touchdowns through 3 weeks. And I mean, the numbers don't look pretty. Week two, he had two catches, 54 yards, but he had the touchdown. And then last week in week three, He only gets the four catches, but he gets the two touchdowns and 65 yards. So T. Higgins, he's already out. So it's Tyler Boyd and Ja'Marr Chase, and against a Jacksonville team where you know that ball is just going to start getting flung around between those two quarterbacks, it's hard not to start Ja'Marr Chase. Like Alex, you said, it's a lot of boom and no bust.
Four touchdowns on 16 targets this year. It's pretty insane, John.
And there's one other guy that definitely has to get mentioned here, Jalen Owatle. I'll let you take this one, Alex, but the only reason why he looks more appealing now is, I'm sorry, my Will Fuller truthers.
Guilty.
Same. You guys know every year I defend Will Fuller. He is always your best fantasy go-to, but he's hurt again. After only playing one game, after missing 2 weeks, Jacoby Brissett ain't going to throw him down the field. So it's Waddle season. And Alex, I mean, what did we see from Waddle on Sunday? I think he's getting into starting territory now.
They used them all wrong. Like, It was fascinating to see 13 targets and 12 catches, which is huge for PPR, but only amounting to 58 yards. Jaylen Waddle wasn't getting the ball in space, wasn't running slants, wasn't running down the sideline. And really, he recorded 58 yards on those 12 catches, but it really should be 55 because they threw him that swing pass 5 yards in the back of the end zone. But from the 1 yard line, it's only recorded as a 1 yard loss. So really, his 58 yards, I'm calling it 53 on the week for that safety. Unbelievable. Will Fuller, I took flyers on. And today, Brian Flores says that there was an undisclosed injury that he picked up on Sunday that's keeping him out of practice this week. I'm clueless.
So I was a believer. All right, the 1 week suspension. Now the second week, he had a personal issue going on, understandable. And now it's an undisclosed injury. So the minute I read that when I woke up, I dropped him and I picked up Curtis Samuel. And I was like, Will Fuller, sorry about it. And I'm not a believer anymore.
Curtis Samuel is a great stash play. There are a lot of guys that open the season on IR. Again, the short term, just 3 weeks. So here we come up on week four. Curtis Samuel, one of those. And another rookie wide receiver, Rashad Bateman. Eligible to return for the Ravens. Hollywood Brown had 3 critical drops that would have accounted for 96 air yards and a touchdown. Don't forget that. So I'm ready to stash him, not start him. A couple more rookies, Devontae Smith, Nick Sirianni wants to take shots at least a couple times a game. If he doesn't trip on Monday Night Football, he has a potential big play over Trayvon Diggs, who made a huge leap this year. He looks awesome for the Cowboys defense, which they desperately needed. Meanwhile, 10.5 yards per reception and 12.5 yards average depth of target for Devontae Smith. Again, boom or bust, I throw that in for Smith and not Chase. But I guess that's the difference when you go from a 6'2", 240-pound receiver to a 5'9", 185-pound receiver. It's a little tougher in the NFL. And hey, one more correction from a week ago, John. Rondale Moore, the Cardinals did feast on that Jacksonville defense, like Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd will on Thursday night. But Rondale Moore wasn't the guy for the Cardinals, who is Christian Kirk and your waiver wire pickup for A.J. Green. Speaking of Thursday Night Football, I think I've tracked down Keith Arizeri, John.
Where is that crazy man at? I mean, it's not hard. You just got to look up. You're probably a shining light on the balding head or something like that.
Where is Keith Arizeri, John?
I don't know. Like, so as a balding brother, like, I look up and, like, I feel this reflection coming off my head, and then I look in the sky. And Alex, I don't know if you see it too, but there's a big shining light looking over the beaches. Do you know what that is?
Oh, no. Well, let's hope that the DFS lineup that Keith has for us is as bright as the sun shining off his bald head.
Gentlemen, it is time for Thursday Night Football. And listen, you want to get some skin in the game, right? You know, it's, I mean, if we're going to be honest, Jaguars, Bengals, not the most exciting, but we get a DFS lineup in, and then I am all in. All right, let's go backwards. I'm going to go with kind of a punt play. Go Carlos Hyde on DraftKings, $1,800. Has had 2 games where, you know, you get 8-9 carries. Maybe you get something lucky. Maybe you get a touchdown. I need that value. I need that punt play. Speaking of punt, give me the Cincinnati kicker, Evan McPherson, 4-for-4 on field goals this season, 8-for-8 on extra points, $3,400. I can deal with that. Laviska Shenault at $6,600. You got 21 targets on the season, averages about 8 fantasy points per week. Again, I could deal with it. If he finds the end zone, cool. I'm golden. That leaves me the 3 big spots. Let's go Jacksonville first. We go James Robinson and J-Rob about to eat. Najee Harris just put in work against Cincinnati. J-Rob at $9,400, coming off the best game of the season so far, 134 scrimmage yards. No, by the way, Cincinnati, when you just, you know, kind of crunch the numbers, 14th most points to running backs. Leaves you with Mixon and Burrow. So hard decision as to who you want as your captain and who you just have as a regular flex play. I'm going to go Burrow as the flex. Give me him for $11,600. Jaguars, 11th most points allowed to quarterbacks. Him coming off the best game of his season as well. 261 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. Most importantly, no interceptions. But Captain, oh Captain, it is Mr. Joe Mixon. I'll spend up on the 16,500 double-digit fantasy points, two of the last three games. Jaguars, sixth most fantasy points allowed to running backs. That, guys, is a winning lineup.
Goodbye, Keith. Let's just hope the lineup doesn't crash like those waves are. Nice view he's got today. Well, that's it for fantasy football. John, I don't think they can get rid of us now. One is just a fluke. Two means we're back for real.
All right, they just can't stop us, Alex. We'll be back for week three of the fam, and we're going to have an update because after Alex got through with Keith a couple weeks ago, it is my turn this week. So when you hear from me again, we will be waving the victory flag again. Enjoy your football, baby. Peace.
I'm Alex Hardy. With me, as always, John Salas. And appreciate Keith Arizari flying on in. So until next week, good luck with week four. Enjoy your Sunday, everybody. And we'll be back next week. See ya.
Rabbit.